and welcome to the Leadership Educator Podcast. My name is Dan Jenkins, and I'm Chair and Associate Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University, and we are both excited for this episode of the Leadership Educators Podcast with Avani Rana, Co-Chair of the Student Leadership Program's Knowledge Community for NASPA, the Student Affairs Professionals, Administrators, and Higher Education Association.
Yeah, so Lauren, so during our first season, which is available wherever you get your podcasts, we talked about leadership educators, who they are, what they do, et cetera. So this season, Lauren and I are speaking with educators and professionals from all of the ILEC professional associations. That's the Inter Association Leadership Education Collaborative. So we're looking at associations such as the Association of Leadership Educators, ALE, the ILA, NASPA, NACA, ACPA, ACUI, and the NCLP, and that is a lot of alphabet soup. So there are a lot of organizations that serve as communities of practice for people who teach leadership and facilitate leadership development programs in higher education. And this intercollaborative association or a group of associations represents these eight professional organizations that are committed in different ways and in many ways to the advancement of leadership education, teaching, research, and professional practice within higher education institutions.
Thank you so much for all that background, Dan. So Avani, our guest today, in addition to her formal director duties at the College of New Jersey and her informal duties as my leadership educator friend, she leads the Student Leadership Program's Knowledge Community at NASPA, like you mentioned, in the ILEC Professional Associations Group. So first, Avani, I'd love to welcome you to our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And again, I'm excited for this because you and I have a pretty close relationship. I'm pretty sure we met at the Leadership Program Coordinators Training in Chicago many years ago when your school, I think, was looking at adding leadership. And I was in, I think, like my first or second year of running the program at my institution. And I just remember that we hit it off right away. We were both, you know, Jersey girls who our schools were in close proximity to each other and very similar leadership programs. So it was natural that with that background, you know, we would have a lot in common and be able to help each other out. I think it's a good example of how getting involved in associations and attending conferences, you know, can help you just do a better job at work when, you know, you have a colleague who you can reach out to and ask some good questions to. So you and I, and, you know, over the past however many years that's been, we've had numerous conversations about leadership, and I thought that, I know I benefited from our conversations. I thought it would be nice to bring you on the podcast so you can share your knowledge and experience about the profession, as well as introduce us to the conferences and resources offered through the NASPA Student Leadership Program's Knowledge Community. So can you start off just by telling us how you got into leadership education and then into the role of leading the SLPKC for NASPA?
Sure. So to give you all a little bit of background, I got my introduction to leadership education was a participant. As a student at Douglas College at Rutgers University, I did women's leadership development as a participant and as a student, and really didn't know that this could be something that I do for my career. I knew student affairs was something that I was interested in when I graduated my undergrad degree, but didn't know that's what I wanted to do as my work until about a year out of working in the real world and realizing that in an internship capacity, I was an internship supervisor working with students and was trying to build leadership capacity with these students in an internship way. And from there, I went on to work at NYU as a grad intern in their Office of Student Activities and Leadership Development. And in that assistantship and working with there at NYU, Patrick Love was my advisor at the time and mentioned working for NASPA. They had graduate assistantships that were available over the summer. And that's kind of where my foray into NASPA came into. I was a graduate intern in their office. Actually working on public policy and higher education policy at the time. So higher education policy was something that NASPA had just started to kind of jump into. My previous role before I went to grad school was actually working for a member of Congress. And so the political aspect and the love of higher education kind of brought me to working for NASPA as one of their first public policy interns. And so I got to know NASPA through that lens of being an intern and getting to know some of those pieces of what NASPA did. And at that time, you know, you had two main associations that student affairs professionals were looking at, ACPA and NASPA. And my home kind of came through NASPA because of my assistantship and the connections that I made there. And through that process, as I became a young professional, I still stayed involved with NASPA through the regional conferences, and which is our opportunity to get to know folks that might be in the same geographic region within there. So I'm part of Region 2, which is the Northeast area. And so my involvement kind of started with there. And as I started to grow my leadership portfolio and learn a little bit more about those pieces, an opportunity to get involved with the NASPA Knowledge Community on Student Leadership Programs came up. So I got an email through, you know, our association emails as being a member, that there were some opportunities to kind of get involved with one of the committees. And so I jumped on the pre-conference planning team role, which is actually where I met Dan. And so, you know, we're working on pre-conference programming for the Student Leadership's Knowledge Community. And so I got to know some of our leadership team then, and then I actually stepped off the leadership team to work on the National Conference Planning Team, because there wasn't someone from our region or with the knowledge of student leadership on the National Conference Planning Team. So in 2016, I sat on the National Conference Planning Team for NASPA, which was great. It was an amazing experience. We had about 7,500 people attending NASPA that year, which is amazing to think about. And I know it's a pretty large foray, but that's where I found my niche within NASPA, because NASPA could be really intimidating and super large for folks who are like, go to a conference and can be completely overwhelmed. But I was able to find my home and my sense of community within the Student Leadership's Knowledge Community. And that leadership team, and being able to kind of get more and more involved through that process. So I went from pre-con team to conference team lead, because we have a leadership team of about 30 people within the KC, and they have different areas that they work with. And then the opportunity to potentially be the KC chair came up. So it's a commitment of 4 years. You're pre-chair, and then chair for 2 years, and then you're a post-chair. So I am finishing up my term as chair, and then will become post-chair for the next year and helping with the transition for our new incoming chairs. So it's a really cool experience to be able to kind of go from an active member within the KC to now being part of that leadership team.
You know, I love hearing about your journey through your own like work experience, like at the different organizations and schools, and then also how you've maintained that relationship with NASPA throughout that entire time. I also think it's so interesting with NASPA, you've gotten some participation on different levels. So there's, you know, regional planning, there's national planning for all student affairs areas, which could be, you know, anywhere up to 15 different departments and units. But then there's also that specific leadership development planning in there. So not only are you planning for the student leadership community, you also may get some insight on how, you know, student conduct works, or how student activities works, or, you know, just different areas that fall under the large student umbrella that I don't know you would get, you know, in some of the other ILEC institutions. So, I love hearing stuff like that.
Well, and I think, Lauren, it's really important to mention that there are so many overlapping KCs. So if you're not completely in student leadership development, it could be that you, and our KC works very closely with a lot of them. Like, there's a student government KC. So I'm currently the advisor for a student government program. And so I've been looking at them and seeing the overlap between student leadership and student government. We also work really closely with our civic engagement team. So we have civic engagement learning community as well. And so we've been talking with them about ways we can collaborate. We've also been talking with some of our different identity groups. So we've talked with women in student affairs, or our African-American KC, like our API KC, and trying to figure out ways that we can infuse leadership development within all of those different areas. So the nice thing is that you can think about the intersectionalities of some of these other areas as we think about it.
Well, and I love hearing that, only because it mirrors what I think is happening in student affairs. So I was in the unit at Temple for about 6 years, and we had departments kind of in and out of our division based on how the university was restructuring, based on how they felt it worked best. So it's nice to see that the National Association is kind of mirroring what's happening at the individual school or university level.
Well, I think it's so important for us to not be so siloed in some of those pieces, and it can be really difficult. It can be really easy to do that, right? We worked with our career KC to offer a pre-con last year because we were talking about career competencies as well as leadership competencies, and how do we overlap those pieces so that our students can share their stories outside into the workplace. So that became a huge piece of what we focused on this last year at our conference, because that became an important thing that NACE was looking at, as well as, you know, leadership educators across the country. So I think that there's some natural synergies that come with leadership education that doesn't just hose with like a leadership department, right? There's so many ways that leadership overlaps with so many different areas, and how can we make sure that we work together to kind of build those bridges to be able to kind of do that?
Yeah, no, Ivana, I love how you frame that. And, you know, I think about, you know, I've been to two of the NASPA, you know, national conferences, and, you know, there's so many things that I'm able to bring back to my teaching. And I, you know, and I work in academic affairs as, you know, as faculty. And that's one of the things that I always, you know, challenge, you know, my colleagues that I see at, you know, what may seem to them as more academic, quote unquote, conferences, you know, the ILA and ALE, just because, you know, a majority of the attendees tend to be, you know, in academic affairs versus student affairs. But I come back just charged when I go to NASPA or LEI. And part of it may just be the energy that comes from student affairs professionals that tend to be the majority of the participants. But those are such important parts of the, you know, of leadership education, of leadership development, of higher education. And, you know, I feel like we don't collaborate enough. And, you know, that's why, you know, too, getting this podcast started with Lauren, it was so important, you know, for me, not only from trying to model for, you know, other leadership educators that, you know, there are two very important parts of experience that are driving leadership education from the student and academic side of student affairs and academic affairs side of things. And so I just had so much respect for Lauren's experience in the student affairs side of the house. And we've always, NASPA was one of the places where we interacted. And so, you know, you shared that as well, Ivana. You know, we met, you know, getting involved in the SLPKC. And I found the SLPKC. I remember trying to find out where leadership educators were when I was working on my dissertation research. And I don't remember who was chairing the knowledge community at the time, but when I was looking to survey people for my dissertation research, that was one of the places that I went, and they were more than willing to, you know, send out a link to my survey all these years ago, the knowledge community listserv. And as a result, I, you know, submitted something to the 2012 conference in Phoenix. John Legend was one of the keynotes, so that was a lot of fun, and got to see him perform, and I'll never forget that. And I didn't even look at the speaker list. Shame on me. I was totally surprised when he came out, because I was so new at going to conferences at that point in my career. I had also volunteered by responding to an email. I mean, the knowledge community was so inclusive to be part of a pre-conference session on leadership education. And that's how I met Kathy Guthrie, and we ended up writing a book together, and Eric Bushlin, and I got closer with Craig Slack through that process. And it was just, you know, it was great. And then, you know, you and I got a chance to work because we volunteered for the same area of the knowledge community. And early in my career, I learned some tough lessons about how to submit conference proposals in the right portal, and how some associations have separate ones for pre-cons versus general sessions, a lesson that I will never forget. So,
sounds like a future podcast topic.
That's right. So Ivana, what can you share about your experience, you know, attending and participating in some of the NASPA-sponsored conferences, whether it be, you know, the big annual, the regionals, or LEI?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's so many really great opportunities to kind of get involved, as you mentioned, with the KC. And the KC tries to do programming that would allow folks to be able to participate on different levels. So we also have a podcast that talks about different topics in different areas. I don't even know what episode we're up to, but we've got lots of different topics and concerns. The latest one we just did was on masculinity and leadership, and talking about, you know, Charlie Life and the Leadership Academy. So we do a variety of different pieces that can kind of share knowledge with our group. Aside from that, we have our regional conferences, which each region or area has a conference, and the KC is play an active role in helping to assist with programming or mentorship opportunities for those regional conferences to build those connections within folks who might be interested in those topical areas. And then the national conference that happens each year. This year will be in Austin, Texas in March. And we'll be doing different programming there. So we offer a mentorship program that's through there. We will also be doing a pre-con this year on intersectionality and leadership. We'll be working with our think tank, which is focused on talking about the SALT model of leadership, which is a new model that's coming through, and then being able to do that. So as folks are engaged, we also have sponsored sessions that are focused on research that is happening within leadership education. So there's lots of different opportunities to kind of be involved. Another big favorite of my conferences is the Leadership Educators Institute, which is a conference that's a collaboration between ACPA, NCLP, and NASPA, which happens every other year in December. And so this year, in 2020, will be in New Orleans. So it's another smaller opportunity to get to know other leadership educators. And that conference is usually around for 400 to 450 participants. And we're in the process, I'm on the planning team this year with it. And so we've got lots of different opportunities for folks to get to know a smaller group of folks with the pre-conference where it might be 30 to 40 individuals versus our national conference, you know, where we also have a pre-con. It's usually a smaller group. So if you're looking for a smaller experience, the pre-cons are a really great opportunity to get to network and get to know other leadership educators with that smaller niche community, but also being able to kind of attend LEI that has like larger conversations on different topics related to leadership development.
And I think I love that you mentioned the pre-con. So I went to the pre-con session where Corey C. Miller introduced the student leadership competencies at Ohio State. And I love that I was able to sit there for 3 hours and listen to, you know, how she created that, like all the whole process just of getting to those competencies and then how I could take that back to my university. So those pre-conferences are invaluable, especially if it's your first time attending a conference, because you will naturally meet and connect with the people that are sitting at your table, and you walk out of that space before, you know, registration really kicks up or before the first keynote speaker, and you already at least have one person you know. So, you know, kind of thinking about this theme, the theme of this season, when you're going to these conferences, kind of how can you start making some inroads? Pre-cons are a great way. And I love hearing that NASPA is in Austin. As a former Austin, Texas resident, I love Austin. The barbecue is great. The weather is amazing. I mean, there's so much to do as you're traveling to this conference. One of the things I mistakenly waited to attend NASPA for probably, I think I was in the field for like 8 or 9 years before I attended a large NASPA because I felt it's 8,000 people. I'm not going to know anybody. It's going to be overwhelming. And so when it was in Philadelphia, I said, well, I know at least my peers from Philly will be there. And I got there and I realized the same people I saw at LEI, at ACPA, at ALE, those same people were attending NASPA. So I almost kicked myself for not going closer to the beginning of my career. And it's funny, Dan and I sat there and watched Sonia Sotomayor, and she walked around the whole audience as if it was her living room. And it's like, you know, you don't get those experiences every day, right, Dan? She shook hands and walked around.
It was one of the most amazing, definitely my top two or three keynotes ever. I mean, she, you know, because it was set up like a meet the press style thing, and like maybe what, 45 seconds in, she looks at the at the woman that was supposed to facilitate that, and she's like, you know, my Secret Service probably won't like this, but do you mind if I just kind of like walk around and meet everybody? And everybody started cheering.
Yeah, she walked
and
around.
She did. 8, she didn't miss people. A beat. She didn't miss a beat. She didn't say like, she was one of the most articulate people I've ever seen in my life. And thank God she's a Supreme Court justice.
It was amazing. And it's like, those are the experiences that you walk away with. I mean, I think Dan, you and I looked at each other like, what is happening
blown
here?
Away.
But we're here for it.
Yeah.
Definitely are here for it. Mm-hmm. But I love that. And that's something I think that's unique to some of those larger conferences. So switching gears though, Avani, back away from conferences and more to the day-to-day. Can you talk a little bit about the resources that the SLPKC offers for leadership educators, maybe some of the non-conference associated resources?
Sure. So we offer our podcast, which I mentioned. So if you look on where podcasts can be found, we are the first one that shows up under NASPA. And so we offer different topics related to that. We're actually going to be doing a live broadcast at the National Conference this year. To hear stories about leadership development throughout the time. If you go onto our website, there's also resources that are there that we provide for if you're going to start a leadership program, what are some of those things that you might want to look out for, ways that you can engage. There's also a link to how to get involved right now. We're actually going through our process of recruiting folks to be involved with our KC. So there's links there. We also offer webinars that are free to our members of our KC. So we've done a variety of different topics, and a lot of that is in collaboration with some of our other KCs that we've worked with. So be it CLDE or our student government KC or different topics like that, we've been trying to bring up conversations that can be really important for those areas. So there's webinars, there are mentorship programs as well. So if you want to connect with other folks that if you're a graduate student and you're still trying to figure out, or if you're a young professional just trying to make more connections, we offer a mentoring program for those folks to meet with other individuals. I'm one of the mentors that you have the opportunity to chat with, but giving that opportunity to share that knowledge base with other individuals throughout the field, I think can be really impactful. So those are just a handful of things that we do. We also do research. So we have a team that works with creating, talking about the newest leadership topics. So there's a NASPA publication that we submit information to, and we're hoping to do more of that as we move forward within the community.
Awesome. So I'm curious, Yvonne, if you might have a fun or interesting or impactful story from your involvement or participation, in NASPA and the knowledge community, whether it was at a conference, or not. I mean, I know one of the things that I didn't expect to do was to share a cab with Susan Kamavez in Philadelphia at the conference a couple of years ago. And that certainly was a surprise. And, we had a great conversation. But, those are the types of things that, might only happen at a NASPA annual conference. But what's something that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many great, impactful stories that I've had throughout the experience of, one of the key pieces. I've known Kevin Kruger since I was a graduate student many, many years ago, longer than I'd like to admit. And, that relationship with Kevin is such an amazing, he's our, president of NASPA, and he's just really great at getting to know the staff and individuals that are part of the community. And I was a graduate intern a long time ago. I want to say a while ago. So he wouldn't like me to tell you what year it was because it probably dates him as well. But being able to build that connection and being able to even, he's extraordinarily busy when he's running through the conference because he has a very strict schedule that goes with 5 minutes blocks of where he tries to hit every single KC that he possibly can and all of the different opportunities to kind of meet different folks throughout the conference. And I happened to be in the elevator stepping off and Kevin walked out of the elevator at the same time. And I said, I kind of waved at him thinking maybe he would, talk with me or do whatever. And he stopped and his team was like, we have to go. You have somewhere to go. But it was just really nice to catch up with him for those 5 or 10 minutes to find out. He was like, oh my God, I'm so glad to see you here. I want to know what's been going on with you and being able to have those conversations. And so, you never know, those relationships that you build early on can build into, relationships in the future. Same thing with Susan Komavies. She came and spoke at Rutgers when I was when I worked with our conference there, our student affairs conference there. And she was a keynote speaker because of her connection with our vice president for student affairs. And to this day, whenever I see her, she'll ask how I am and, be able to kind of do that. And so I think we all have our Dan crushes or leadership, folks that we look up to as we kind of develop our careers and folks that have, whose work has really informed our practice in some way, shape or form. And it's kind of nice to chat with them and get to know them on a more personal level in the sense of getting to know them and and sometimes they do follow our career and want to know what we're doing as we move forward with the different things. And, you know, Susan and I have been able to reconnect on different in different ways with our award that we give out, because we give a Susan Komavies Research Award each year. And so she's so excited to see our leadership team and to continue that name and to be able to give that award, which is always really nice to see her. But yeah, there's lots of fun opportunities. But I also think, like, the opportunity that I've had with seeing students who were participants of our leadership programs, one of our leadership team members was a participant in LeaderShape and the year that Lauren and I got to meet, and is now a leadership educator and is on our leadership team. You know, she attended LEI as a graduate student and now is one of our members of our leadership team and is really involved with the association. And I would like to think I had a little bit to do with that to get her involved and be engaged. And so I think it's so important for us to be able to, you know, recruit folks to participate in these experiences and to, you know, set that tone, and especially making sure that we have diverse folks who are involved in these programs and in ways that we do that, because I think that's such an important legacy that we need to leave for future leadership educators.
I love that you share the impact you've had on others as well as those who have impacted you. You're obviously out there doing great work because you've talked about your involvement in these different spaces and how, and we know this, that the conferences, all of this is growing at an enormous rate. And so it's great hearing the things that have impacted you. I feel like there's an episode in the future on kind of tell your Susan story. Like, I remember I met her and she talked to me like we were old friends, and I'm like, do you realize who you are? Like, but I loved it because she was like an egoless individual who was there to learn just as I was there to learn. And it was so refreshing, because in those spaces, you can get easily intimidated. And I think one of the things that our leadership conferences do well is, you know, we're out there preaching and teaching what leadership looks like. We also do a good job of modeling what leadership looks like. And in those spaces, you can just walk up and have those respectful conversations about, you know, the industry or kind of what's happening. So I love hearing those little tidbits. Is there anything that you want to share that maybe we didn't ask you in an earlier question, or just, you know, something you kind of want to leave folks with? This is the last official question we have for you. So, you know, anything you want to toss out there for our leadership educator audience?
I would just say get involved. I mean, in any way that you possibly can. So find your niche, whatever that niche looks like, because I know that organizations like NASPA or ACPA or some of our larger groups can be intimidating to kind of find and get involved. But if you're able to find those niche areas that are really interesting to you, that's what I found most folks have been successful with. And then it opens the doors to you to get involved with other things. Like, I don't think I would have ever been on a national conference planning team if I hadn't had the experience of working with our regions or working with the SLPKC, and being able to kind of be those stepping stones for me to get more involved in the association. And, you know, as I step off as chair this year, like, I'm super excited to, like, you know, work, still continue my work with the KC in different ways. I mean, I've talked with Miles and Rachel, who are our new incoming chairs. Like, I want to stay involved in some way, shape, or form, but I want to make sure that, like, you know, we're continuing to grow and we're continuing to share those leadership opportunities with others. So, you know, Miles is great, and he's been our host of our podcast for years. Rachel is an amazing individual who's worked with our conference planning team. They both bring such different assets to our team. And I'm so excited to see, you know, as we grow the programs, like, what are the legacies we can leave? What are the pieces that we can focus on? But, like, how can we recruit more folks to get involved and be engaged? And I think it can be intimidating to say, okay, I want to send this email to get involved. And, like, how much time is it going to be? And do I really have the time to be able to do this? But I would argue that, like, this is worth the time, because you're going to gain a lot of insight and knowledge and resources through that involvement that you never thought that you would get. I mean, I'll say this with Lauren, like, Lauren and I had one conversation and started to really have those deep conversations with, when I'm, like, really frustrated with students or frustrated with, like, not knowing where we go with this particular program, and being like, okay, I need an outside person to kind of think about these things. By building that network, it's been really helpful personally for me. And I think I've gained a lot of knowledge from that end. So find what that niche is, get involved. send the email when they're looking for folks to get involved with different areas and try it out. If you don't like it, you can always step off, take advantage of the opportunities you have to be engaged, and I don't think you'll regret it.
Yeah, that's great advice. I echo your sentiments, because there's sometimes people think with leadership educator, it's curriculum and stuff like that. But I know, Avani, like a lot of your job is logistics planning, and it helps when you can call someone who you know has either run a similar program or may have seen this issue to bounce those ideas off of to help you figure out what to do next. It makes it just easy to ask for help, knowing you have somebody on the other end who has some experience that you can trust. So I appreciate that.
Omani, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. And if anybody has any other questions, I'm more than happy to answer, or contact us through our website and through our email, and we can build those connections with whichever way you want to get involved with.
And that wraps up this episode of the Leadership Educator Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening at home or walking your dog or engaging in another activity where you are practicing social distancing.
We are the gurus of social distance podcasting, as we are separated by 6 states, more than the CDC required 6 feet.
Well, that is what we do. So way to be a leader in that area. So jokes aside, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to follow us on Twitter. I am at @Dr_leadership, and Lauren is at @MrsLaurjb. That's Miss Laura JB. We want to encourage you to listen to the full episodes as they are released, as we can only share a fraction of the amazing stories that our guests shared. You can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available, and we also encourage you to rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
We'd also like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in New Strategy and Management.
That's right. And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matthew White, trumpeter, composer, and educator. And he's currently the Associate Professor of Trumpet, Coordinator of Jazz and Commercial Music, and Director of Ensembles at Coastal Carolina University. He's also a Guggenheim Fellow, some new news. You can check him out, at www.mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience. And finally, thank you to the Association of Leadership Educators. Check out what the ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. And we hope you will listen to our next episode wherever you get your podcasts.